Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call. Mr. Leonard Lee, please be on hold and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM Pacific Technology 2020 second quarter results announcement investor conference call. Before we proceed, I would like to note that during this conference call, there may be certain forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific Technology's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements may involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks which could cause actual results, performance, and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For your reference, the IR presentation related to our 2020 second quarter results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. Robin Ng, CEO of ASM Pacific Technology, and Ms. Patricia Hsiao Chow, CFO of ASM Pacific Technology. Robin will start with a brief discussion about our 2020 second quarter results, followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand this over to Robin, please.
Thank you, Leonard. It was a challenging first half of 2020 with the global economy's steep economic downturn triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic and lockdowns in multiple countries. The net effect dampened shipments to our customers serving the automotive and industrial sectors, especially in the U.S. and the Eurozone, and also for the CMOS image sensor or CIS market. Nevertheless, I'm pleased to report that we have stayed resilient and able to achieve year-on-year growth in revenue and profits. Multiple factors such as 5G infrastructure build-up, the localization of China's semiconductor supply chains, and our strong position in advanced packaging were contributing factors driving our first half revenue performance. Overall, group bookings for the first half of 2020 were US$1.14 billion. This is an increase of 7.4% compared to the first half of 2019. Notably, net profit, HK$390.8 million, grew by 119.2% over the same period last year. Quarterly performance. Second quarter performance was relatively good. For example, all three business segments delivered both Q-on-Q and year-on-year revenue growth. Our second quarter billings of US$557.4 million came in slightly above the midpoint of our revenue guidance issued at our first quarter 2020 results announcement. We also delivered close to the midpoint of our second quarter gross margin guidance given during our first quarter 2020 results announcement. Notably, our net profit, HK$365.4 million in second quarter, was a healthy 421.8% increase over the same period last year. Revenue for both semiconductor solutions and material segments recorded double-digit year-on-year growth, and while second quarter group bookings decreased 29.4% Q on Q and 21.6% year on year respectively, this was in line with the previous guidance and a reflection of the overall dampened business sentiment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Let me now provide some highlights about our segment performance. First, the semiconductor solution segment. Our second quarter billing for semiconductor solution was US$279 million, an increase of 43% Q on Q and 33.8% year on year. Strong year on year billings growth was underpinned by advanced packaging, optoelectronics, and IC discrete segments. Notably, advanced packaging deposition tools for RDL, or redistribution layer, and copper build-up application from NEXT delivered strong billings growth compared to Q2 2019. The ongoing market trend for high-performance computing application continues to drive strong performance from our next business, while the traditional wire bonders and the die bonders still delivered relatively strong year-on-year Q2 revenue growth despite a challenging business environment. Six-month billings, US$473.3 million, increased by 16.6%, while new order bookings of US$536.5 million increased by 14.2% versus the first half of 2019. While Q2 segment booking decreased slightly by 8.1% on a year-on-year basis, this was due to a confluence of mentioned, dampening overall business sentiment. Gross margin of 42.9% in this quarter and 42.2% for the first half of 2020 were mainly driven by higher volume effect, positive results from our productivity initiative, a good product mix, and continuous cost reduction efforts in our manufacturing operations. On to highlights for our SMT solution segment. While new order bookings for SMT solution of US$166.6 million this quarter fell by 38.4% Q&Q and 43.7% year-on-year respectively, new order bookings for the first half 2020 of US$437.1 million represented an increase of 13.7% as compared to the last 6 months of 2019, although still less than the first half of 2019. As expected, bookings for SMT solutions have decreased from the high levels they achieved in the preceding quarter. A 6.9% decrease in 6 month billings of our SMT solution business of US$392.6 million year on year, and gross margins of 31.3% for the second quarter and 31.8% for the first half of 2020 were impacted by an overall market weakness in automotive and industrial application market, and the relatively larger customer base that the group served this year compared to last year. Nevertheless, SMC Solutions benefited from the 5G-related investment in China in the first half of 2020. Another bright spot in this segment is System in Package, or SIP, which is expected to deliver sustained and long-term returns to the group. On to highlights for the materials segment. This quarter, materials segment booking remained at a high level, although Q&Q bookings declined by 11.8%. After 5 consecutive quarters of Q&Q booking growth, an indicator that the demand for semiconductor devices remained healthy. On a year-on-year basis, our Q2 material segment booking rose by 32.7%, and the first half booking achieved a record for the material segment of US$167.3 million. Registering an improvement of 25.2% versus second half of 2019 and 59.3% versus first half of 2019. In the second quarter, billings of a material segment of US$74.2 million remained healthy, representing increases of 43.2% Q&Q and 28.2% year-on-year. The material segment contributed 13.3% to our group billings for the second quarter. Billings of the material segment for the 6 month period amounted to US$125.7 million, representing a decrease of 3.2% against the preceding 6 months, but an increase of 15.6% comparing to the first half of 2019. Gross margins were 16.9% for second quarter and 13.5% for the first half of this year. This segment achieved a healthy profit of 58.1 million in the second quarter. This represented an 193.7% year-on-year increase, while the segment profit of Hong Kong dollar, $73.9 million for the first half of 2020, represented an increase of 144.4% year-on-year. Gross margin improvement this year compared to last year for the material segment was underpinned by a higher volume effect and the discontinuation of the loss-making molded interconnect substrate business in the early part of 2020. Taking the material business forward, our material business is healthy, and our material segment is consistently among the top global lead frame manufacturers consistently. This is a strong business in tandem with the growth of the global semiconductor market. However, the lead frame business is extremely competitive and requires economies of scale in order to be sustainably successful. We have been closely monitoring lead frame market trends for some years and observed industry consolidation amongst its market participants. This is why we have reached an agreement to form a strategic joint venture involving our material business segment with key partners. We have undertaken a rigorous process to identify suitable strategic partners to help accelerate the business growth of its material segment. Our partners are Wise Road Capital Limited and Asia IO Capital Management Limited, and together with them, we will collectively guide the management and development of this strategic joint venture. We expect the strategic joint venture to begin operating by the end of 2020. In the meantime, our material segment will continue its business with the management team, operations, expansion plans, and product development unchanged. When the strategic joint venture begins operation, it will operate as an independent business headquartered in Hong Kong under the auspices of the ICGV partners, tapping the deep and complementary network and market experience of Maestro and Asia IO to help extend and solidify its leadership position in the mid-frame market. ASMPT will hold a minority equity interest in strategic joint venture, while our partners will collectively hold a controlling interest to the designated investment vehicles. The financials of the SJV will be equity accounted for by the group once the SJV begins operating. I'm confident that the excellent track record, financial strength, and the collective attributes of the partners in this strategic joint venture form a very strong and capable foundation to fully actualize the immense potential inherent in the lead frame business. This will in turn benefit all stakeholders in ASMPT's material segment and give our customers the assurance that the needs and the future requirements are well looked after. Let me now give my comments on our business outlook. While we seem to have navigated global economic headwinds relatively well, with the COVID-19 pandemic and the ongoing geopolitical tensions, uncertainty remains. The IMF, or International Monetary Fund, revised their global full-year 2020 growth projection downwards during the June 2020 review from -3% to -4.9%. For the second half of 2020, the threat of another wave of COVID-19 infections and the continued fallout from the worsening U.S.-China tension will remain major concerns globally. For revenue, we anticipate this to be in the range of US$480 million to US$560 million for Q3 to 2020, and that takes into account the subdued demand for automotive solutions and the weakness in the Eurozone demand. Despite these uncertainties, one thing is clear. The rapid transformation of global workforce and industry norms have added to overall trends that point to a future increasingly in need of more digital capabilities and features. These include increased telecommuting use, a huge thirst for high-performance computing and data centers, 5G infrastructure build-up, localization of China's semiconductor supply chain, and an increasingly wider and more complex range of requirements for digitally driven capabilities across multiple industries. ASM is well placed to help meet these growing and evolving requirements. Our diverse customer base remains one of the key competitive advantages as we make good progress in capturing new market opportunities in advanced packaging, silicon photonics, industrial Internet of Things, mini and micro LED solutions, power semiconductors, and industry 4.0 solutions. We are also preparing our business for the future, such as the formation of the strategic joint venture to take our material business forward. I'm confident that we will emerge stronger, even stronger, relative to the competition. With that, we are ready to take some Q&A questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now move to Q&A session. If you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1. Please remind that please maximize your question to 2. Thank you. Our first question comes from Donnie Tan from Nomura. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin and Nijman, for taking my question. I have two questions. First is regarding to your outlook. So despite of you are not providing any booking outlook for third quarter, just wondering whether if you can guide us the direction of your different businesses. And this is the first question. Thank you.
Thank you. Because of the uncertainty, still remaining in the market, so it's kind of difficult to really give, some kind of a definitive kind of outlook for a booking especially. Now, if you look back in our trend, you know, for many years, typically the trend is that the second half booking will be lower than the first half booking. And that seems to exhibit, especially for the semicon solution segment, for materials, kind of inconsistent, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, you know. But for SMT, the second half tends also to be lower than the first half in terms of booking.
Thank you. And a quick follow-up is on the regarding to the first question is your announcement on selling some stakes of your material business, because I think Wise World Capital is one of important China fund. It used to invest in Nexperia before. Just wondering if you can elaborate more on whether SM Pacific in the future will continue searching for the strategic investor, particularly from China.
Yeah, I think so far this is the first time in our history whereby, you know, we form a strategic joint venture, you know, with a partner. So at this point in time, we have no plan for any future joint venture with any other party.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kana Wong from Credit Suisse.
Thanks for taking my question. So I want to have a follow-up question on the divestiture of like material business. So as right now, the one of the key benefits is actually to accelerate the growth. I think from my understanding is like it actually could like capture like more different customer, diversified customer in the future, and especially when we can also pursue the growth in the Chinese, the China semiconductor industry, then this divestiture of material business could be one of the advantage. I think if may I know like if there's any future plan for this subsidiary that is working with, I mean, getting any other like business structure that could be changed in the future, and if this is also something that is a direction you are working with the strategic PE investors? This is the first question.
Can I answer your first part? As I mentioned in my opening remark, you know, we have gone through this very rigorous process to identify suitable joint venture partners, you know, for our material business. Now, we are very pleased to have found, very strong partners in Wise Road and in Asia IO. As, you know, rightly said just now, Wise Road is known in the market. You know, they have, acquired an Nexperia. And both these companies, in our opinion, have very deep connections, you know, and experience in the semiconductor market, in particular in the Chinese semiconductor market. Now, as we have mentioned earlier, China is definitely a high growth region also for the lithium semiconductor market. So I think with the combination of their experience, you know, and expertise, and their expertise and also financial expertise, yeah? And also coupled with our experience in managing the lithium operation, I think it's a marriage of strength, and I think we are very confident that this this marriage or this JV will further, you know, enhance the growth of the lithium business in the years to come.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alpha Lai from Citigroup. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, Robin and Leonard and new management. I have two questions. One is a follow-up question, you know, after Donnie.
Sorry, Arthur. We can't really hear you. Sorry, Arthur. Can you speak a little bit closer to the mic?
Hi. Yes, yes. Sorry, is it better?
Yes.
The first question is a follow-up question on the quarter three revenues. How we think of the composition of the semi-solution and SMT? We want to know that, given this guidance, the breakdown. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the main drivers are still there, we mentioned about 5G. I think 5G related investments are driving demand, across both the IC discrete, NEX, as well as SMT segment. So it is a common broad theme, propping up the demand for the semiconductor market. So that applies, as I said, across to both segments. Now, for the China localization effect, definitely is taking hold. So we have been saying that. So the drivers remain the same, actually the same from Q1 going into Q2. And we see these drivers also continue to be there for a period of time. Now, for SMT, I think the outlook for Q3 in my statement, right? So we see a weakness in automotive, and also in terms of region, we see that Europe and America, are slowing down. So as a result, that tempered our guidance a little bit, in terms of revenue guidance for Q3.
Understand. And given the Europe and U.S., they have a higher tax rate, and then so how we think of the tax rate going forward?
Yeah, I think you can see our tax rate this quarter has gone down to a much lower level, compared to Q1. Primarily because of we have been saying, if you guys have been following our results, right? So the profit mix between the semi side and the SMT side does play a big part, So in terms of determining the overall group tax rate, so for Q2, because of the higher profit generated by the semi segment, we see the tax rate coming down to around 14%, and on the first half basis to around 18%. So if this profit mix remains the same going forward, we can expect to see that kind of ETR or estimated tax rate, for the rest of the quarter.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Wu Liu Yang from Everbright. Thank you.
Hi, dear management. I'm Wu Liu Yang, overseas CMC analyst from Everbright Securities. I have two questions. The first is, I'm really curious about opportunity for SMT business for next year. Which area of demand will rebound to drive the whole business grow up?
We still believe 5G infrastructure build-up will be, a multi-year program. And we believe and we are confident that our SMT segment will continue to benefit from this particular segment because of our superior capability in handling, more advanced devices, placement more advanced devices. So in terms of accuracy, in terms of flexibility, in terms of speed as well. So I think 5G will continue to drive it. Now, I also mentioned in our announcement that SIP, or system in packages, this demand has been around for a couple of quarters already. We see customers using our SMT tools to assemble devices onto SIP packages. They like our tools because of the speed and the accuracy. And most of these devices or modules actually go into consumables, like, for example, the earbuds, you know, those wireless earbuds, you know, they're kind of very popular now among all of us, and also smart watches and so forth. So we see these two demand will continue for a period of time. And of course, looking at the smartphone market, you know, if the smartphone market starts to pick up, you know, in the later part of this year, hopefully, you know, our SMT segment, you know, we believe will also stand, you know, to benefit from this demand in smartphone.
I understand. The second question is more detailed. We can see the demand from the base station and the light module have released this year. Will this kind of demand decrease in next year?
I hope I got your question correct. As I said, the base, the 5G infrastructure base station build-up is, in our opinion, a multi-year driver. So you also continue into 2021.
And I'm wondering about the equipment demand. Will the customer release in the end of this year, but not next year? Will this happen this year?
Sorry, can you repeat your question one more time? Sorry.
I'm wondering about the customers will build up their capacity in this year at the end of this year, but not next year. And the demand for us is released the most in this year, but not next year. Will this circumstance happen?
Yeah, I think for 5G, you know, we still believe, you know, that it's a multi-year driver, you know, for the industry. So as long as, you know, countries all over the world continue to, you know, build up their 5G infrastructure, I think the demand will continue for a period of time.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Li Pinghua from CICC. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions. So the first question is, what's your exit strategy for the material business? And how this will benefit the ASMPT's shareholder, you know, because you consider the good track record of the WISE road, or the carve out the ASP and finally go to the Asia market, which has a very large valuation gap. So how you look, because you still keep about 40% stake in this material business. What's your plan for this material business exit plan? Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Now, the reason that we hold still a significant percentage, 44.44% of shareholding in the joint venture, you know, it's an indicator, it's a strong signal that ASMPT is fully committed, you know, to this strategic investment and fully committed together with our partners, you know, to further grow this investment and bring this SJV to a new height. So we believe, as I mentioned earlier, the lead frame market is primed for, you know, growth. And looking at the past trend, you know, the consolidation trend among the market participants, we believe that it's a, you know, opportunity for us, you know, to together as a JV, you know, to capitalize, you know, in this current macro environment, to bring this joint venture, you know, to a much higher growth than if we were to remain as a 100% owned business under ASMPT Group. So as I explained earlier, I think the complementary strength of the partner, you know, will able to deliver, you know, superior growth return for both shareholders in this particular joint venture. Now we just mentioned about, you know, this joint venture today. So absolutely, we have no plan. You know, there's no divestment plan at this point in time. But of course, looking at the profile of the investors that we have partnered with, you know, they're very strong in terms of financial expertise. You know, so of course we can't rule out, you know, that going IPO is definitely one of the routes that we will take, you know, eventually.
Okay. The second question is about your SMT business margin. So I mean, your SMT business margin keep going down in last few quarters, and now roughly it's around, I think, 31%. So what we should model your SMT business margin in long term? So I think you explained in previous quarter you have a larger exposure in Chinese customer and you are gaining market share, but how we should look this business in terms of margin in long term? Yeah, thank you.
Now, if you look at the SMT margin, we have been saying that on one hand, you know, we are happy, you know, that we have been able to penetrate into the Chinese market in a very sustainable manner. But on the other hand, you know, typically this market has a lower margin, you know, compared to if we sell to the European and American market. Now, this year in particular, we see the China mix are much higher than the European and American mix because of the slowdown in Europe and in America. Now, if the economy in or the demand in Europe and America start to pick up again, the gross margin of the SMG segment will also start to improve. So I think primarily it's driven by, you know, the geographical mix of this SMG segment. However, of course, having said that, you know, we are of course looking into measures and initiatives in order to continually to bring down the cost of the SMG tools. As I mentioned, we have mentioned some quarters back, you know, our Malaysia factory should be fully operational probably in the early part or mid of next year. And if that comes into force, I think we can expect our SMT margin to continue to improve from there.
Thank you. We have another following question come from Johnny Pan from Nomura.
Thank you, Robin and management, for taking my question again. I would like to discuss maybe a long-term or mid-term trend. As you know, advanced packaging has been an important driver for Asia Pacific in the past 1 to 2 years. But I'm seeing there is a new trend called chiplet. And I also read some of your presentation showing that you have some equipment is under R&D stage for this kind of chiplet assembly. Just wondering if you could give us some more color on progress and the future market opportunity from this kind of new chiplet design ICs in the future. And maybe if it would be better if you could comment on the competition landscape within this new chiplet design. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. You know, so you, I mean, we all know about the, you know, the limitations of Moore's Law, right? So I think with the limitation of Moore's Law, I think the shift is now towards the advanced packaging, you know. So that's the area that, you know, the back-end guys like ourselves and the competitors play, you know, in this field. Now, yes, I think there's tremendous growth opportunity, you know, for everyone, you know, who are participating in this particular arena. Now, you're talking about chip, that is exactly the, you know, the trend that we are seeing as well. So basically, in terms of technical terminology, we call it heterogeneous integration. So basically placing different chips, whether it's memory chips, logic chips, or, you know, other kind of chips, into a package, trying to mimic trying to mimic, you know, the SOC, you know, the system on chip fabricated at the front end. So instead of fabricating this chip in the modem, the GPU and the CPU in one chip in the front end, you know, the trend is moving towards using advanced packaging tools, you know, to package individual of these chiplets, you know, into a package and try to mimic the function of a SOC. So that for that to really materialize, I think the we need advanced packaging tools. That, for example, we have been advocating that for ASMPT, we believe we are, you know, a premier interconnect technology player. So we have a whole range of advanced packaging tools to facilitate this HI process. For example, we have been advocating we have very accurate and very accurate and very precise pick and place tool called the Nucleus. You guys are also now very familiar with our TCB, thermal compression bonding as well. In our announcement, we have also mentioned that we believe we have the largest in stock base of TCB, you know, for CPU applications. And since the acquisition of NEXX back in 2018, you know, we extended, you know, another area where we can play in the advanced packaging area, and that is for the deposition, you know, deposition tools for RDL and for copper buildup. So we have been also very successful in this particular area, especially for panel deposition tools. So which we have been saying NEXX has been performing very well this year compared to last year. So the landscape is that this we see advanced packaging will continue to grow, but let's be a friend. Advanced packaging as a whole, in terms of market size, you know, is on the cross margin. And your one more question is about the automotive and the industrial proportion. I believe overall proportion for the SMT business segment. Although we have been saying that the demand for automotive and industrial has come down, we are speaking in relative terms. You know, compared to prior period, compared to prior year. I must say that these two segments, especially for the automotive segment, is still a major segment. So if you look at our, you know, the application mix, you know, we have a chart, you know, in our IR slide. Automotive is still, you know, the number two or number three segment after the mobility, telecommunications, and IT segment. So it's not a small segment. It's not a small segment by itself.
Thank you, sir. And our next question comes from Tanya Wong from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again. I have two questions. So the first one is about the Intel that they are going to outsource 7nm products to TSMC. What do you think about the impact to ASM Pacific, especially in the advanced packaging? Because I think the CPU or HPC is one of the key drivers for the TCB as well. So I think I'm not sure if that will be a positive or a negative impact in the near term and mid to long term. This is the first question. The second question is, Robin, you mentioned about the smartphone side that later this year will also benefit for the 5G smartphone product. So we'd like to know about the momentum for this smartphone, despite the overall smartphone market is kind of like weak this year, but this particular 5G smartphone model that will still try to benefit SMT in the second half of 2020. And this momentum, will it continue in the first half next year? Thanks.
To answer your first question first now, your question about Intel outsourcing to TSMC. Now, the outsourcing part is the wafer fab part. So is an area you probably know we don't really we don't play in the area. We play in the advanced packaging area. Now, whether it all depends on Intel. We can't really speak for Intel. We also we are not saying, you know, Intel is a customer anyway, right? So I'm just commenting in general. Okay, so it all depends on Intel whether, you know, they will, you know, focus more on advanced packaging. So it's something that we really cannot comment on behalf of Intel. Now, in terms of smartphone 5G, yes, I think if smartphone 5G pick up in the later part of this year, I think it will benefit not just SMT, but also you know, the IC segment in terms of because 5G phone need more devices, you know, they pack more devices into a 5G phone for better feature, you know, better features. So as you can imagine, you know, it needs more devices, you know, so the customer would tend to buy more equipment, what we call capacity buy, right? So for example, there'll be more antennas, more filters in the 5G phone. So this bodes well for the entire packaging industry as a whole. So we also we believe that we also stand to benefit from the packaging side. Now, for 5G smartphone, it all depends how the 5G high-end smartphones will the demand for the 5G high-end smartphones will materialize in the future. It's too early to tell at this point in time.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Lee Bin Huang from CIC. Please go ahead.
Okay. Just one follow-up question. So we see the foundry customer, if you look at the second quarter result and third quarter guidance, seems to be most of the foundry are fully utilized now. So can you share some color? So why the foundry customer is so fully utilized, but your second quarter booking guidance is still a double-digit decline? So, of course, I understand the CIS, you have some weakness on the smartphone customer. How is your traditional the back-end or front-end customer? Thank you.
So as I mentioned earlier, I think if we look at ASM PT, right? So in the semiconductor solution segment, you know, we basically have a few subunit in there. You know, one is what we call the IC and the discrete. The other one is the optoelectronics. Third is the CIS segment, and fourth we can broadly classify them as advanced packaging, whereby, you know, a NEX will be inside there, a MICRA will be inside there as well. Now, as I mentioned earlier, also our traditional die and wire bonder, you know, also see a pickup, you know, in terms of the demand in this particular period. So we believe, of course, we cannot directly associate, you know, with the loading in the foundry customers, but we believe naturally, very intuitively, right? So if the foundry customers are, you know, their utilization is high, ultimately all these chips that they manufacture will have to be packaged, you know, down the road. So in that sense, I think, you know, we will, as I said, our traditional wire and die bonders also benefited from this trend. However, as I mentioned earlier, you know, in view of the very uncertain macroeconomic environment, we tend to be a little bit more cautious in terms of how we look at the demand going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Simon Liu from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, you know, a couple of questions very quickly to double check, you know, management's previous comment. So number one, sorry to ask this, but the second quarter bookings are showing quite significant year-on-year decline. So could you recap this second quarter booking can represent mostly the Q3 revenue trend, or it will be split into the Q3, Q4, so we don't have to worry too much on the Q3 revenue significant decline? And then I will ask the follow-up question. Thank you.
Let me try, because we can't really hear you, Simon, very clearly, but let me try to answer my answer to your question, see whether it's accurate. Now, second quarter decline in booking, yes, we got it in Q1, and because we knew, because of the pandemic situation, the demand from customers, you know, will be dampened. And at a point in time, we also have some information, you know, that customers are getting a little bit cautious. That's why they started to push out some of the orders, Q3 and Q4. And we were right. So we got it, double-digit decline, you know, Q on Q in terms of booking. So our booking declined by, I think, close to 29% in Q on Q. Now, I think as for your second part of the question, Simon, can you repeat the second part, please? We can't really hear you.
Yeah, my question is, in a second quarter bookings, which declined significantly quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year, that really means Q3 billing revenue declined significantly, or it will be spread over through the fourth quarter or even early next year?
Yes. Now, for Q3, we are getting a range of 480 million US to 560 million US. So, as compared to Q2 guidance of 500 million to 580 million, so in essence, we are just getting, you know, slightly less than Q2 revenue. So, Q4, honestly, you know, we have been always saying, we can't really see beyond one quarter, you know, especially in this environment. You know, there's really not much visibility at all, you know, for Q4. Now, I mentioned earlier, the reason why we are guiding that range for Q3 is really due to the very uncertain environment. And also looking at past trends, you know, typically, SMT, will tend to be a little bit higher past trends compared to Q3 compared to Q2, but this time around, because of the subdued demand for automotive and also the weakness in the Eurozone, we don't expect to see that for SMT.
Yeah. So lastly, if the bookings trend remains volatile and uncertain, but this also means maybe quite strong quarter-on-quarter year-on-year increase maybe toward the late this year once the auto industry becomes normalized. You know, if people buy more electric vehicles and also all the industrial data points becomes better. So there's a chance to see unexpected strong, you know, the booking or order increase trend. Thank you.
I think it all depends on a few factors. I think the macroeconomic situation, if hopefully can improve, I think then the consumer sentiment should improve. So that will give a boost to the electronics and the semiconductor industry as a whole. Now, we're also watching the demand signal for smartphones very carefully. So we are watching whether the end consumer demand for smartphones will it increase? You know, when new models are launched, probably towards the later part of Q3 and Q4. Typically, they will launch all these new phones during that period to catch the season, you know, the festive season buying spree, right? So we are also watching this demand signal very carefully. Now, if that happens, I'm sure, you know, I'm confident that we will also stand to benefit from a few angles. One is, of course, our CIS market segment. As I said, this is a weak market, relatively weak market segment for ASMPT in this first half. So if that picks up, you know, if the end consumer sentiment towards a smartphone pick up, I think that, you know, we are cautiously optimistic that, you know, the CS market will also continue, will continue to move higher from where we are today now. And of course, not forgetting SMT as well. You know, so SMT will also benefit from this pickup if the end consumer demand for smartphones becomes strong, you know, in the later part of this year.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next follow-up questions come from Kanya Wong from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I think there's another question about the gross margin. So given we have the revenue guidance for the third quarter, what could we see in terms of gross margin? Despite you mentioned about a geographic impact and also some uncertainty, but what do you think about, because you also have some expectation in terms of the mix, and can we like maintain or like at least, at least maintain this kind of like gross margin, or like in terms of year over year, what do you see the changes in terms of their mix impact? Thanks.
Yeah. I think because of the weakness in automotive, as you you are aware, you know, automotive tend to be a higher margin business, you know, across the board, especially for SMT. And because of this weakness and also the weakness in the Eurozone and America affecting our SMT, we believe the margin for SMT will continue to be, we won't continue to increase. You know, we believe overall, because of the lower guidance in terms of revenue range, if the revenue come in lower than Q2, we believe our margin will also have to be moderated, you know, from Q2 downwards, because margins are also very much dependent on top line as well.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Marco Lin from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm trying to ask, just to clarify, what are the percentage of our investment in the new JV partner?
Oh, our percentage at the start of the JV would be 44.44%. That's our shareholding percentage. And the other percentage, of course, belong to the two other JV partners. However, as you can as we have read in our probably have read in our announcement, right, we have this earn-out mechanism. So depending on how we perform in terms of, how the JV perform in terms of EBIT values, you know, if we perform beyond a certain threshold, you know, our percentage can increase from 44.44% to around 49%, just below 50%. Likewise, if the JV does not meet those EBIT targets, you know, it can also come down to around 37.5%. So, however, I think we are very confident, you know, based on the performance of the material business in the last few years. And if you look at our this year performance for the material segment, I think of all the three segments, material segment this year performed in terms of metrics, you know, are very well. So we're very confident that this JV, you know, this JV performance will, you know, continue to grow and surpass, you know, this year performance in the future.
So, just to clarify, so currently it is not consolidated, but if in the future you would like to like increase your shareholding in the JV, it might be consolidated to the EBIT perspective?
No. That's why the maximum shareholding that we can go up to based on the earn-out mechanism is 49%. So at 49%, we will still not subsidiary. We will still be consolidated and still be account the financial of the JV will still be accounted equity accounted for. So it's just one line. You know, when we talk about equity accounting, we just one line. You know, accounting for the our share of the PAT of the JV in our group financials.
Oh, got it. And same question, just a reminder of me, what's the percentage of the AP and CIs in the SAMI business?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Like in the last quarter, you mentioned the Advantage package and CIs account for half of your SAMI business. And is that still in the first half or in the second quarter?
Yeah, I think we tend to want to look at it more meaningfully from the first half of business. So together with CIS, you know, they're close to 50% of our semi-solution business.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Mr. Simon Liu from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry again. The very quick question again. The regarding the automotive area, all the weakness. Could you recap which machine is now suffering, and then when these can maybe show some recovery? Because auto industry has been showing quite long period, struggling. But it is time to see some recovery with the electric vehicle and the auto and promotion. So. Could you recap which SMT machine is suffering regarding the automotive and the European zone area? Thank you.
Yeah. I think for automotive, not just the SMT machine we are supplying to the automotive segment, but also the semiconductor IC discrete segment, we are also supplying tools for the automotive segment. Especially for those power packages, as you can imagine, right? Cars need a lot of power to drive the power train. So a lot of these power packages require different tools to package them. So we are also in for the semi solution side. We also provide tools for the automotive segment. Of course, SMT automotive. So the SMT, the automotive market is of course a very dominant market for SMT. So we have been saying that we believe in terms of the automotive segment, SMT placement tools, the placement tool for the component onto the PCB board, we are the premier company, supplying these placement tools for the automotive segment, because most of these. Automotive demand actually originate or come from the European and the American region, and that's where we are very strong in those areas.
Yeah. However, the let's look at the all the European auto OEMs' strategies. They are significantly shifting from the traditional ICE car platform to the more hybrid and electric vehicles. In that case. These auto OEM customers, do they need a new, team mounter and also the new, the packaging solution because of the, their platform shift to more and more electric vehicles? Then maybe why not the ASMPT can benefit from this, or it's not much relevant? Thank you.
Yes, I think certainly. I think talking about EV market now. EV market is still relatively a small segment, compared to the diesel power. I mean the engine powered automotive market. So the conventional powered engine market for automotive. So although the electronic content for EV or hybrid vehicles are higher, compared to the conventional automotive, but it cannot. Make up for the drop in demand for the overall car market. That's why automotive market this year is down, compared to prior year. Now, in terms of the type of tools, certainly, if the package requirement for better placement tools for all markets, including automotive, SMT will stand to benefit because we are known for our technological capabilities in terms of placement, in terms of accuracy, and also in terms of flexibility, you know, in terms of flexibility in the production line, you know. So we will stand to benefit if that happens. But let me also say something. For the automotive market, once you are supplying to automotive market, they don't change the requirement, you know, very often, you know. So once you are in the automotive market, they buy off certain specs of your tools. You know? They will tend to use these tools for a long period of time, you know, because they want stability, you know, they want quality, they don't want too many changes in the design, you know. So once you're in for a long haul. So that's the advantage. So being a number one supplier to the automotive market, you know, we tend to be in a very entrenched position, you know, supplying to the industry for a long period of time.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear, sir.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. To register for a question, please press star 1. Once again, it's star 1 to register for a question. Thank you. And Leonard, there seems to be no further question at this point in time. Thank you. Leonard, there seems to be no further question at this point.
Sure, yeah. Well, in that case, I think we have a very good discussion this morning. We have covered a lot of ground, different areas. In the interest of time, I'm afraid we would have to conclude the call. So thank you all for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again next time. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes your
thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.